Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel reading, the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Well, come this fall, we'll have opportunity for someone in the congregation here to vote on the lay delegate, to be a lay delegate in the circuit forum. And what this means is that myself and somebody from the congregation, as well as the other in the circuit, will also get together. And so we're going to vote on one who's the pastoral delegate and the lay delegate. They're going to go to the synodical convention next year. Now, in some parts of the country, that's not a big deal. Like in our circuit here, it's no big deal. It's, you don't mind whoever, whatever pastor gets elected to go. But in other parts of the country, well, they can be, those meetings can be rather politically charged. Yes, indeed, there is politics in the Missouri Senate. And, well, I would say this district probably knows that more than most, I would say. But anyway, when I was in Kansas one time, I was nominated to be the pastoral delegate to the Synodical Convention. And there was another pastor in the circuit that was nominated as well. Well, there were 8 tie votes in a row, okay, before someone was elected, and that ended up being me. It's kind of funny, later on I found out after the meeting there were 2 guys in there who kept switching their votes to help trying to break it, and they kept going back and forth until finally one of them was like, ah, forget it, you know, and then I got elected. So it's kind of funny how that works. Now, after the election, a gentleman from another congregation came to pay a visit to me. Well, he used to be from the old Lutheran Brotherhood, so I thought, well, he's going to give me a business visit here and sell me some insurance or that kind of thing. Well, and he comes in and he says, oh, Pastor, I'm not coming here for a business visit. I'm an elder at one of the other churches in town, and he goes, we're a conservative church, and I'm here to tell you that you need to vote conservatively at the convention. Really? Now, first of all, when you're elected to represent the circuit, you do keep in mind with the other folks in the circuit, you know, what they are and what the interests are, the circuit. But you're also expected to vote your conscience. So here he is telling me what to do. Not unlike Nicodemus in our gospel lesson for today. Now, you might be thinking, like, really? How come? You know, how do you come across with that? Well, let's take a closer look at our gospel reading for today. Well, it begins this way. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. A man of the Pharisees. All right, the Pharisees. Well, they were just as much a political party as they were leaders in the church. Now, for them, they claimed to follow the Mosaic laws and the prophets. While the Sadducees, well, they went along with the authority, the priestly authority that they had been given by the Roman government, and they only followed the first 5 books of the Old Testament. Now, note here in our text, it says Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. Now, what you may not know is what his name means. Nicodemus' name means this, conqueror of the people. Now consider again the passage. Conqueror of the people, ruler of the Jews, comes to Jesus by night and asks him a question. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs unless God is with them. Now, Nicodemus here has come to conquer, or rather I should say more politely, debate Jesus. Now he comes by saying, Rabbi, we know. We know, okay? Now, he's definitely coming from the perspective of the Pharisees. We know. That's what they're thinking collectively as well as individually. He's one of those guys. And he goes on to butter up Jesus here a little bit by saying, you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. It's obvious here that one, Nicodemus, doesn't know who Jesus is, and does not believe that Jesus is God. And here he is saying these things, and he's got God right in front of him in Jesus. Now, on the other hand, what? Well, we know that Jesus knows all men. He knows what's in their hearts. He knows everybody's hearts. And so he knows their thoughts, and he knows how self-righteous the Pharisees were as a group. and individually as well. And so Jesus then replies to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, Nicodemus, no doubt as he's hearing this, is going, "What? All right, what are you trying to say to me here, Jesus?" Okay? Now, if we had heard that for the first time, I'd probably say that we wouldn't get it either. But Jesus replies to Jesus here. It's like, how can a man be born again when he is old? You know, surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. You see, Nicodemus is just looking at this strictly from the physical perspective, not the spiritual. How often do we look at the Bible and look at it too from a physical perspective and not always looking at things from the spiritual perspective, meaning God's perspective? When we look at it from God's perspective, sometimes, well, we look at that and we don't get it either, what God is trying to tell us. And so Jesus brings him back into the spiritual perspective, God's perspective. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." One must be born again. Okay? Not physically, Nicodemus. That's not going to happen there. If you are to be born again, it has to be God's doing. You must be born of water and the Spirit. Now, Jesus is talking of spiritual things here. Okay? Born of water is baptism. Now, baptism was done among the Jews. Okay? John the Baptist did it. It's common. Okay? Why did people do that? Well, they went to go get baptized because, what? It was a sign of repentance, a sign of turning away from sin and back to God. But what also is associated with repentance? Forgiveness. Who is the one who's going to be doing the forgiving? That's going to be God. Okay? God is the one who forgives. And so then when we're talking about baptism, who then is the active one in baptism? God is. God is the one who forgives our sins. Man has nothing to do with it. Man brings nothing to the table. God is the one who gives new birth. So Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" He's trying to grasp what Jesus is saying here. Now Jesus replies, "Are you the teacher of Israel? Yet you do not understand these things." Now every time I come across this particular passage, I can't help but think that Jesus is going up to Nicodemus and knocking on his head. He's like, "Hello? Hello? Anybody in there?" It's like, "You're the teacher of Israel. You should know what it says in the scripture. You don't get this? Come on." But then again, we need to remember that Nicodemus is a Pharisee. Okay? His party is the group that does not hold to just the Ten Commandments, but to 513 commandments. You see, the Pharisees added 503 rules and regulations that people needed to follow in order to be considered righteous. You had to do 513 things in order to be righteous before God. You see, these are all man-made rules that were added to the Ten Commandments. So it's no surprise then at all that the people are not looking at things from a spiritual perspective. They've lost it. They don't understand it. And so here they are holding to this belief that if they follow man's rules here, then they're going to be righteous before God. Okay? That's like us thinking here. It's like, well, if we do all these good things here, that God's going to like us and he's going to be happy with us. God will have to let me into heaven because I'm a good person. Consequently, Jesus lays it out to Nicodemus. He says it this way, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus is taking Nicodemus by the hand at this point in time. He says, like, you know, hey, if I told you worldly stuff and you don't get that, how can I expect you to get the heavenly things as well? He goes, this is all about saving the people here, not conquering the people. So he brings up something that he would understand. It's like, you know, recall Moses, all right, when he lifted up the serpent. Right, recall that they had to put a bronze serpent on a pole because the children of Israel out there in the wilderness they weren't happy with God, and so God sent poisonous snakes, and so if they got bit by one of these poisonous snakes, well, people were dying all over the place. But if they looked at this bronze serpent on a pole, then they wouldn't die. You see, that was an act of faith. Because a bronze serpent on a pole, that's not going to do anything. It's not going to take the venom out of your system. But if you looked at that pole as an act of faith, that's how God is going to save you, then you begin to trust and know who God is. That's where Jesus is connecting the dots here. So must the Son of Man be lifted up. Okay? Lifted up is a euphemism. It's kind of like if we say, go get a rope, we all know we're going to hang somebody. So if you said, must be lifted up, well, that means he's going to go die on a cross. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? That is how God is going to save his people. And that's what he's sharing here with them. And so whoever believes in him, okay, again, having faith, will be saved and have eternal life. See, this is how much God loves the world, that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And that saving is going to come from Jesus going to the cross and dying for our sins. You see, God did not send the Son of Man to conquer the people, to condemn the people, but rather that they might be saved through him. Well, the gentleman came into my office that day to tell me what to do, left in quite a different manner. I told him, you can't tell me how to vote. I said, the synodical rules ensure that I get to vote my conscience. You see, there's a higher authority, synod's rules, over your rules and whatever your elders think at your church about who can vote and how I should vote, make my vote. And so it is with God's rules. He set it up so that Jesus would go to the cross. That's how forgiveness would be earned. And by believing in that, you too would have forgiveness of sins. And to make sure that you understand and know that personally, God gives us baptism. For then in our baptisms, we have the assurance that our sins are forgiven and have the hope of everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit is given to us as a deposit, guaranteeing that all that is true. See, on this Trinity Sunday, we see how the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit work together. And it's for a reason, so that we might be saved, that we might have our sins forgiven and have the hope of everlasting life. So leave here today knowing how much your God loves you, that whoever believes in Jesus would not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.